All right, I'd like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. It's August 21st, 2025 at 6 o'clock. Do we have any public input?
We do not.
Okay, do we have to go into executive session?
We do not.
Excellent. Okay, let's review the consent agenda. Did anyone have any changes to the meeting minutes?
No.
Okay, did anyone have any questions on the check register?
A couple. A few of these are comments. The Women in Water Scholarship Fund donated $50. Are we able to donate more? Or is there like a cap? Or
There's
does
not
that get passed? Or?
no. So I can't remember if it's happened yet or not. Maybe it did pass. There was AWWA Regional was had a symposium or whatever at the canyon, so it was in Park City, and so we figured as a Park City water provider that we would donate, and that was like the minimum suggested amount to be recognized.
Okay.
But we can always donate.
Because this is for like college students.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would support more, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. And then the two Chevy Silverados, we have them, or did we pay the advance pay?
No, we have those. We were waiting for the shells. Now we have the shells, and so there'll be a little more of a payment to them. Yeah, we have them.
But that was the big payment.
Yeah, that was like the shells were like the shells mines were like 6, 7 grand each.
All right. But those are, were those in the check register?
What was that?
Were those in the check register this month or they'll be next month?
They'll be next month.
Yeah. All right. What was the roundabout modeling that Bowen Paul's doing? Is that a water lining roundabout or the actual roundabout?
Yeah, so the Stone County is undergoing the roundabout from their office during 7-Eleven. So we're building the project and we're going to have to really look at our water line. We're doing stuff like log modeling, make sure we get the right size and right location.
Any silver lining for us? Like, what's something better, isn't there?
Absolutely.
They make this one reasonable date for the relocation. They're pushing pretty hard to get the sewer district to do the same, but we have no obligation, best we understand.
It's like
Oh, you guys didn't do the franchise agreement?
IGES, the soils testing. Is that for the new building or is that somewhere else?
That's the treatment plan.
Oh, the treatment
plan.
I think that's patches.
Oh, but terrific.
Yeah,
the kind of replies.
It's usually like 3 or 4.
Excellent to see an archaeology study of the treatment plan. That's the same. But we've done, but we haven't paid for it yet.
For real.
What are those environmental requirements?
Inventory is not 60 years and 1 liter.
Yeah,
And then last comment, kind of a joke, but Burke Brothers, $20 to fix a flat tire. That's got to be the lowest charge at Burke Brothers. I'm done.
I had a couple questions.
Okay.
What did we have for 85,000 for C4 construction?
They were a contractor that instead of putting a performance bond in place, they deposited money with us.
Okay.
And so once they complete, then we refund the money to them.
Okay.
And this was a partial, it was a big deposit, you know, because it was a big project, but they were requesting a partial back in the month.
And I noticed that we had lots of refunds. Is it just that a lot of construction is completed, or did we kind of go through and say, hey, you still got this deposit after the place?
Both.
Okay, well, that's great. And then on the credit card, I was just wondering if we could maybe have, you know, something more, descriptive, like when it says Amazon, it just says supply, the Walmart supply, it just felt like it could have been anything.
Okay.
Staple supplies, you know.
Home Depot.
Well, Home Depot, I guess I feel like it's probably going to be tools, but like Walmart.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get, we'll work on getting better descriptions.
Okay. Just a comment. And that's it for me. Any other questions on the trip register? And there's that purchase order for the garden?
Yes. Calvin Gardens, which is very interesting. This is actually about $10,000 cheaper than we bought 2 years ago. So same 60,000 pounds.
Virgin carbon, but the price has actually come down a little bit. So you mind?
No.
Yes, we're happy to see a price go that direction. So
yeah.
Should be coming this fall. And now that we're on rotation of Yak only being in for 2 years, so basically we replace two vessels every year. Okay.
All right, but anybody? Oh, sorry.
So is that the time being expected?
Yes, yes. The kind of revised timing after some of the testing they've been doing, that it was decided the GAC needed to be replaced a little faster than what we're doing. And so now this is how we've scheduled to go now. So next year we'd replace the other two that we replaced last year, and kind of make every other. We buy GAC every year, and each vessel virtually is every other.
The reason why I was debating,
but that's what I said. I said, that's what I think. Okay, so we'll see that expensively.
Yeah,
see this. But it'll be the only fun one.
Yeah, it's just being out there.
Gotcha. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. Steve, tell us about the July financial
plan. Well, you see your revenue. Let's remember out of yet another month here. As you see, we are well above budget, $2.9 million. About $2.5 million of that is from revenue, or $2.4 million. There are some cost savings, $434,000, about 5%, which is nice. But we have had some pretty good expenses in August, so we'll see if we keep that kind of pace. Water sales at $1.55 million above budget. Our mountain regional direct customers, like retail or commercial residences, things like that, they're 29 and almost 30% higher than the 4-year average. They are higher than last year, which was our highest year. So without any drought messaging or restrictions or things like that, and ample in the reservoirs, people are just going. I really thought we'd see a little bit of a downturn in July. Some of the people got their June bills, but it's interesting. We had new offenders, you know, like, or people who were really high in June, some of them down. Even, for example, Promontory Golf Course's usage in July was lower than its usage in June. So there were those and some of the big, but there were enough other residential customers that were increasing their usage into July that made it less to me to work out. The other one is, well, we'll talk about that a bit later, but again, the water revenue is really what's driving that. Development related collections is down a little bit. Impact fees are slightly over budget, but we're installing fewer meters than we budgeted. Kind of that slowdown and just not getting as many new connections to the system. And voluntary assessments are also lower than had been budgeted. The other revenue, and this will kind of be the story probably for the rest of the year. Again, the federal direct pay reimbursement for the floating solar array wasn't guaranteed, so we didn't budget it. So it's going to be a positive variance to the budget. And then interest earnings is still doing, it still haven't really cut them. So we're still doing better than what we did plan.
But the cash balances will start to drop pretty dramatically. It's not here, but we cut a check for $1.6 million to open today for construction. So some of that interest earnings will start to drop. The one spot on expenses where we kind of Boss Canyon has been just, I guess it was their turn to kind of have a bad year. So they've been replacing a lot of motors and pumps and things like that. So that's the only one who's significantly over budget. You know, other smaller categories like chemicals and things like that are also slightly over budget, which makes sense. We're pushing a lot of water in the system. But there's plenty of other savings in other areas. So that's why we're net and have done a lot of savings in expenses.
All right, let's,
cash. So you can see cash actually went up, even though we were making payments on the building and things like that. Basically, because June sales were so high, all that cash is, well, almost all that cash is getting collected in July. So we're able to actually increase our cash balances.
That's the income moment.
And I alluded to this before. We're up to 76 new customer requests so far this year. That first column, 4-year average was 156. But again, the 4-year average is still very skewed from 21 and 22. But it's very, very similar to 23 and 22.
All right, let's go down. So usage, you can fit, no, you can't, yeah, perfect.
So the top part is just the month. So let's look at, it looks pink to me on this screen, but the first column where we had 460 acre feet for our direct customers, last year was 425, which you see was significantly higher than any year before it. So you can see why revenue is so high. And then if you go down that same column and you look at the year to date, you know, we're at 1,333 acre feet to our customers. You know, well above the usual 1,027. So, a little bit parts a little down. Promontory Golf, you can see, is up. Park City, not wheeling as much as they normally. So, since that's kind of a very cost based calculation for them, that's down. And then Summit Water is almost exactly half the water for the year through July at 249 acre feet to get 500. Let's see. There's your graph. And Ian, you did predict. I could have squalled it in under without adding another 500,000 level, but it wouldn't look kind of funny. So we now have a 3 million on this graph. Again, those blue dots were projected to be significantly lower. So,
because you were kind of forecasting, they would kind of flatline over, maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, so I was kind of surprised that it wouldn't up that much again.
Right.
Another 250,000. Like I said, a lot of the people who were high in June came down, but a lot of the people who kind of were more made up that sense.
But that's what should drop?
It should. August usually drops because the mornings are cooler. Maybe we'll get some thunderstorms this weekend. We usually see a drop in August, as you can see historically.
Yep.
But this year I'm beyond. I'm not guessing anymore. I just don't know.
But Brian, is it? We still
going for good stuff. It's
a couple weeks.
It seems like we're slowing down a little.
Okay.
All right. So that's the financial review through July. Any questions? All makes sense.
Did we expect the when you go to your financial report?
Yeah.
You have that one page that shows like what part is residential and golf course information.
Yeah.
It looked like golf was, even with what your expectations were, which seems surprising based on how much they lose.
Oh, like
I think, well, this month they were down from last month.
They were down, so they were more on budget for July. They were still above
budget. And their year-to-date number is big because June was so big.
Okay.
But their year-to-date number isn't as bad as it's been. It started.
No, their
year-to-date number is high, but their month-to-month is more.
July.
July.
Was that?
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have the source issue or like.
We cannot continue this pace.
Yeah.
Revenue great, but everything that we're doing is not sustainable. The good news is we're collecting extra revenue, so we should be able to push some capital projects well next year instead of in 2027, but this is not a sustainable model.
What's the pinch point?
We haven't had rain. People are watering every day.
I mean, is it time to start doing some conservation messaging, or is it too late?
It's probably too late for this year, and as we talked earlier this year, and there's conservation fatigue, but next year we're really going to have to, I mean, if something doesn't change, we're going to have to start emphasizing on even watering. We're going to have to start calling out people that are watering every day. We had a horse in the office yesterday at a $2,000 water bill, and he didn't understand it, but he started watering at 3 a.m. in the morning, and he stopped watering at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, well, I have the greenest trees in the neighborhood. Well, yeah, I'm paying for it. But you can't have sympathy for people that just keep watering and watering and watering. I mean, 15B, 15C, you know that. If that had gone, now the Atkinson well is down. So it's really just been a stress on the physical system, the aquifer. And Brian and his team, Sam and everyone, they've done a great job with the sleepless nights of making sure that we're able to recover. I mean, you pray you can come Monday morning and you pray you get recovery, but it's not sustainable.
Is the pressure of large scale or even just moderate scale future development, is that something that we need to bring to the public's attention? I mean, I'm keenly aware of it. I'm in my own lane. And I'm sure you guys have got your own people as well.
Okay. I mean,
there's some very large-scale projects on the horizon.
Yeah, and to Steve's point, I would say a majority of our customers are doing the right thing. It's just these large residential homes, and you can see it in that detail that Steve had in the back, are what are pushing the system limits. A normal residential, that's not what's causing it. It's these larger residential properties that are irrigating for our second homeowners. But the gentleman Andy mentioned said, like, just got into town. And I think that's probably a lot of what we're dealing with. So if that's more messaging to HOAs, to leaning into more of our, we have in our rules and regs policies about what addresses, what or when. That hasn't been a big enforcement tool that we've gone down, but if we continue to run the system like Ian said in the way that we are, we're gonna have issues. So I think next year, it's not like we just said, oh yeah, do whatever. I mean, we have it on our website, we have it in our newsletter. We tried meeting Andy and I on radio saying, yeah, the reservoirs are full, but you gotta watch what you're watering. But there also hasn't been a collective message, I believe, from the state on this either. The Slow the Flow campaign is in kind of a rebranding stage at this point, from what I understand. They're supposed to be rolling out something new this month. But I think just the messaging locally, where our situation is not unlike the Wasatch Front. I've heard from a lot of water agencies that everybody's seeing huge upticks in our drought call. I looked for the slides, I couldn't find them today, but there was kind of your peak in your reservoir, and it's like a little hook when it comes off. There's not a hook, it's a straight, sharp decline. So the reservoirs are emptying right now, and it's not just ours. So it's just a whole, whether it's conservation fatigue, it's drier than normal, so people are watering more, and we're trying to say to our customers, by using these conservation rates, that we really don't want to have to run our system this hard. We're trying to do it in a financial tool as well as educationally. But, I don't know, unless we really went to an enforcement type situation, which I know we have had these conversations in our staff meetings, and Dave has said they lean on that quite heavily in the area that he's in. So does that mean we hire a staff that's driving around and citing people for wasting of water? You know, maybe that's something we start thinking about.
It's going to change how we operate as well. We used to rely on pumps, you know, a pump fail, you know, then we deal with it. Now we're going to probably have a pump that we will pull every 3 years, replace it. So we're going to not cause a failure, but we're not going to allow things to fail the best we can. So that'll be, you know, there'll be a capital expense related to that too. But we can't risk not having a pump, a motor, whatever, if we continue to be this, you know, this dry. And we thought we were going to get rain today, and we got like 12 raindrops.
Yeah, that's about it.
I think maybe some more targeted messaging to those high, large residential users, letters with, you know, an educational, you know, informational, but, you know, there will be consequences if, you know, you hit some of our wasting of water criteria. So I think that, and we've talked about it, just really trying to hone in and see, you know, those top however many percent that is, Steve, I don't know off the top of my head, but it's those customers that are really driving the majority of it.
There were 62 residential customers who hit that highest tier where they're paying $55 per thousand. And you know, that adds up your bill really fast if you're, and so kind of to answer your question or comment a little bit, Corey, not all development is created equal in our world, because three toilets in a normal sized house and a big house will use about the same amount of water or whatever, but there's a large difference between a normal residential home, something under 3,000 square feet versus, you know, these 8,000-9,000 square foot homes with big yards. They use just so much water.
So
a lot of it.
Exponential.
Exponential. So that's, so we can handle development as long as it's a lot of conservation responsible. It's really targeting, to Lisa's point, and we'll have to next year target some of these really big users and say, we've got to help people come in, you know, with a sort of smart controller program. You know, a punitive program or whatever, but that we can get a lot of growth out of bringing down some of our top users, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right.
With that much additional usage, though, does, like, how long would that have to go on before our current year sees challenged by the state? If our usage is like, because didn't our ERC didn't come down recently because we've been showing
the customers are concerned? From a concurrency perspective, I can't remember how many ERCs we had, a couple thousand.
We're in good shape from a concurrency perspective, just the way the
economy. But some others that also.
So,
okay. We like the revenue, but we don't like what it's doing to the system.
But the state's not going to change our.
Well, it's, I mean, the state wants development.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry to digress.
No. Just even my water barrel is down to like the last 6 inches where I have to like put my whole body in it, into it just to finish my water.
You got some water to stand on my
hand. Hey. I'm going to buy it from you.
So part of the requirement of the Money Management Act is that we go and have a six-month report to kind of, you get a CAF report every month. I put that in the packet. But this is a little more formal one that shows exactly where the funds are, you know, what's at Zion Bank, the public treasurers, the corporate, kind of gives you a view over the last 6 months. And then to the accounting geeks in here, this kind of shows the flow where it was $23 million, we got the big loan, coming up to $38 million, started spending down the loan, keep spending down the loan. Our normal cash position sits in the mid-20s, let's say. So we'll end up there once we're low 20s, once we're done building the building. Shows that, this just shows that we're putting away the reserves we need. Go ahead and keep on going down. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this. debt reserves. So this is like impact fees, our rate stabilization, just the extra things we have we can use to spend on projects and things like that. And then let's go down. This one's always kind of interesting. So this is like the escrow funds. So by the end of December, they're usually pretty low because we made all our big payments. That's why they're higher in June, because we're building the escrow more or less so that we can make our December payments. Construction cash, kind of related to above. So this was the loan. You can see basically we had just gotten a loan in December 23. It's been some of it. And in June, we're down to 8.4. Yeah. And then this is the geeky part. We'll go down a little bit more. Sorry. I lied. Go up a little bit. Just because explained. So that check from C4 was in that June 25 number. So this is customer deposits, like the $1,500, and contractor performance cash instead of performance bonds. So that's where that big cash check comes out of these funds that they hold separately. And then just below that is all the bank recs, if you wanted to see like how many outstanding checks. This is the accounting part. So I also wanted to just quickly, when I submit this report, investment policy. It's right next to it.
Yeah.
They always ask me, you know, when was the last time you discussed the Management Act or what you do as a company with your funds? And so I just want to do that here. So I can put this date next time when I submit it in December. Basically, it just means that, you know, we're not going to go out and just invest the funds how we want. You're going to follow the Money Management Act. We've decided to use the PTIF, which does as well as probably anything that we're allowed to invest in. So just kind of wanted to include that and just talk about it briefly. I know we talk about it and things like that, but this is what we follow in our cash management and cash investing policy. So
how does the PTIF do on average?
It's doing about 4.7 right now, which is
a little bit more than money market.
A little bit more than money market. Probably not quite as much if we're playing CD games really aggressively and kind of guess right. But it's a nice return. I mean, they carry huge balances because almost every governmental entity uses it. So, all right. Let's see. On my section, quick WIFIA update. We had another call today. Everything's progressing well. We talked about the archaeology studies in. They've given us a public, what's the thing called?
Public benefits?
Public benefits that we're reviewing right now. It's kind of what they will post on their website to just say, hey, this is creating this many jobs and saving this much money and doing all those good things. So it looked good. I don't think we had any, sent a couple of comments just about things, and Lisa read through that, and we'll probably get just turn that back to them on Monday. And then by September 5th, they sent us like the 100-page loan agreement. So we're all reviewing that for September 5th. And then, so we're doing all we can there. And they're very pleased with us.
I think they're going to start their approval process, their internal approval process. September 9th is when, and they need the public benefits report to go along with their approval process.
And then my last part, Fitch, this year, they didn't do a formal review of what's in depth on their capital plan and all that kind of stuff. Before, has there been any big change? Pulling down, yeah, so we're in the treatment plan, and I'm still growing, they know we're with the, but they looked at our financials and said, you're good, and just hold your rating where it is for this year, and they'll do more of a more in-depth review again next year. So we maintain our Fitch rating.
Okay.
All right, and let's see. I don't think there's an E.
Nope.
Well, thanks, Steve. That's always I'm concerned about the like all the revenue, but I don't know that we could have headed it off.
Yeah.
In any way, but
I mean, we tried with the rates that we adopted.
Well,
that was larger.
It seems genius now, doesn't it?
Well, $55 you really thought would change behavior. And when we had drought rate ground rented in 2022 the highest ground rate of 75, and it changed behaviors. But it was also, there was a lot of messaging in 2022.
And it also could impact our rate, potential rate increase for next year, meaning we might not need.
I'm looking at all of that. Like, if people use water like this, then we would do smaller rate increase. But if for whatever reason, we're on drought, so there's not water in reservoirs and they can't use it, then we won't make the same revenue. So the rate models, we're having a little tug of war right now with what I'm doing. You know, kind of thinking how's the time so you can work out for next year. But, you know, these numbers, if I just plug them in and go, hey, the 3-year expense, it's only the rate increase. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I trust that. You know, so there's kind of the science of it and then the experience of.
It's mainly the still beaver based and regionalization
yeah.
Money mesh. That's a dip we knew was coming. The other good thing that, you know, allows Steve to and us to model these things is we have a drought reserve. And we established that, you know, a few years ago. So we're not just, while we are collecting now, and that's something we can look at when we go over the budget, is do we feel like we want to put any more money in that fund to head off something if we were to get in a situation where our water allocation is cut, is short, and people, you know, we go into big restrictions. We can make up that revenue shortfall with what we already have on hand. We don't need to have necessarily for larger rate increases like we've been in the future. So just
what do we do with the buying up our $550,000 we have from the feds for the solar?
It helps pay for that budget. So basically, Yeah, and for that, that we kind of funded for building up the house. You know, and kind of a little bit to the, it is a problem that we're using so much water, but fortunately, our rates are set up. We kind of create our own solution to what I was saying earlier. So, yeah, we're pushing water, but we're going to make $1.5 million more than we thought. And that flows right to the capital budget, which then we can use to hopefully develop a source, maybe a well next year. So I'd be much, it'd be a tougher situation if we didn't have our conservation rates and you were pushed like this, that you want to generate the revenue to help solve the problem. So, not that I'm, it's definitely a silver lining, but at least there is a silver lining.
So far,
yes.
I mean, there is a cap.
There is a cap.
And we're out, yeah, we're out of water. I mean, being sustainably used, at least the groundwater portion tends to pay for that for like 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so are we looking to next year potentially being drought restrictions? Like if all the local reservoirs are dumping harvest to go to Powell, right? We're trying to like stand up Powell.
So that's a great Salt Lake.
Yeah. And it'll just slow depending on the snow.
And the soil, I think your colleague told me, so like the soil has never been this dry.
The average soil moisture in the state is in new charted territory.
So, all that snow is just going to go right to the ground and not it's not all.
Unless we get a bunch of water in the fall.
Good piece on that, huh? Average snow cap is not averaging. Significant snow materials. The average water here is under snow.
Any other discussion on that? We'll move on to consideration for approval of the interlocal agreement between Summit County and Mountain Regional Water Specialty District for health insurance.
So we, for 13 years, we've been operating with Summit County, Mountain Regional, Basin Rec, and the Fire District in a informal, administration of this, of a self-funded pool for health insurance. And after Morton took over in 2023, our reserve balance has been growing, significantly over the last few years. We haven't had any rate increases in the last 5 years. And so that reserve balance was starting to go up, and there were starting to be some additional members, other service districts like North Summit Fire, South Summit Fire, and High Valley Transit were coming into the pool. So we kind of came to the conclusion that we needed to start putting some kind of formal operating agreement together to try to just, kind of document how we were managing this informal group and put some parameters around it. So that's where this interlocal agreement came from. Like I said, the plan has been very successful. You've heard of health insurance costs increasing dramatically, and we have not had a rate increase in 5 years. And as of right now, there are more looking at a 3%, but that's with pretty aggressive claims numbers, and we haven't really seen those in our pool. So we don't have a final number yet, but it will probably be in that 0 to 3% range, I'm thinking, for this year. So we had another, really great year of the plan. So this interlocal agreement, it basically kind of formalizes what we've been doing. I have in the memo, it says, what stays the same. Our plan is staying the same. Nothing's changing. We're going to continue together to work in this coalition. The county manager, or the county personnel director, David Warnock, will be the chair, and Shane Scott will be Summit County manager, will be the ultimate decision maker, and we will just act in an advisory capacity. That's all this group will be. Some of the changes under the interlocal agreement that we've agreed to, Summit County does do all the administration of the health insurance, so they invoice us for premiums. They retain the balance, calculate interest on that balance. It's in a PTIF. Well, it's changed where it's been, but it should be collecting PTIF interest. We've never really seen the county for that balance. And like I said, it had been growing. So Summit County has agreed to give us at least quarterly a detailed reconciliation of what's in that account balance and making sure that agrees with what Morton is showing as what our claims usage is and what our premiums are in for each one of the entities that we're using. So we feel pretty good about getting that information. The premiums in the past had all been the same for each entity. They will now fluctuate depending on how your loss ratio is going. So if you're a heavy hitter on the plan, you could see up to a 6% increase above what the C30 is for that year. If you're running well and you are in one of those lower loss ratios, then you could potentially get a negative 6% increase. So that is one of the, right now I have here Mountain Regionals, we're running at an 89%. So that puts us at just the normal premium increase, whatever that would be recommended by them. And then a couple other items that are changing. The reserve fund, which had, been continuing to grow, will now be evaluated every year. And if you are in a positive position and your premiums are higher than your claims, then you would be eligible for a portion of that in return. The termination, 6 months are required notice, and approval to leave the coalition can only be done by the Sun County. Readmission not for 2 years if you leave, and Mountain Regional will have two representatives on that healthcare coalition board. The county will have four, and that's the max number that any entity. So this does require your signature clearance. So it's in the document. Yeah. So any questions?
This is not a motion of county council.
Yes, this one you will do in turn.
And it looks like there was a second memo that kind of had how everybody, who was getting a refund, and PR seems pretty close to.
There's another section, and I was kind of speaking to how we're going forward in here, but that reserve balance that I mentioned has grown pretty significantly. And so those four entities that have been in the coalition for the duration of those 13 years, they've come up with a calculation to try and refund some of that reserve that's over that 6 month amount that they were wanting to keep as a reserve balance. And so that was calculated, kind of as part of the coalition, depending on what those numbers look like. And that was based on a loss run ratio, I think, from the inception of the plan. And Mountain Regional, because the size of our I think we're the smallest. Basin is a little bit larger, but we've also had some heavier claims on our plan. So we are running, for the entirety of the plan for the last 13 years, we've been running in a deficit. So while we've made up a lot of that recently, and that's why we're actually running better now, it's, you know, from in the beginning, early days of Mountain Regional, we were hitting that plan pretty hard. And when you only have 27 employees playing premiums, you're never going to catch up.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were, and that's what we're trying to capture in this interlocal agreement is we're going to keep track of everybody's balance. And if you are a heavy user on the plan, A, you don't get to participate in a reserve at the end of every year, and your premiums will continue to increase, obviously, to try to help offset some of that loss that you're getting. So that's how we were the smallest of that number. They were trying to give us a little bit, you know, because we have been a good partner, I think, Mutual has, and yeah. We've contributed and tried to help, you know, move this thing forward. So I think everybody acknowledged that.
It's not
in the interlocal agreement?
In the physical piece.
Oh, okay. So I could get it.
Your
electronic piece. Yeah. Or it's definitely not by office. Yeah. Good questions.
Wait for submissions, Madam.
I think I have a hard copy printed.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Wait, looking at it.
Was there a motion?
Oh, yes, we need, would somebody like to make a motion to approve this agreement?
Love to. Consideration for approval, or sorry, motion for approval of the interlocal agreement between Summit County and Mountain Regional Water Special Service District for health insurance. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I'll be in and out. So, if you
need it, I'll just bring it out and I'll just leave it at the front. And yeah. It's there's a little spot we can keep stuff and then stop by whenever you choose.
Okay.
Thanks.
We're already on to general manager comments.
So this past week, we have had the entire site paved. It puts into perspective how much asphalt we now own, which is requiring us to think how we're going to maintain and plow and weed and whatever, but it's just a good problem to have. The carpeting will be installed starting September 8th. Furniture will start arriving on September 15th. Once all of that is put into place, then the final cabling, wiring, computer, and all of that can take place. We are still on time for the revised schedule by about 30 days. We are still under budget. We continue to have weekly walkthroughs with the contractor, and overall, we're excited to move. So that is that.
Can I, like, some of the pictures looked like maybe we had some, I don't know, there was some discoloration on the roof.
You know, it hasn't rained, and that's all
dust. So it's just dust.
It's just dust.
So and it's not evidence of puddling or something.
There's no lubrication.
Yeah. Okay.
Those are the sheets that were on the top of the pile in the yard.
Yeah. And it was interesting as things got put, you could see it had different colors. And we questioned that as well.
Okay.
So landscaping was supposed, plans were supposed to be showing up yesterday. And so the yard and everything will continue. But it's really, really the way it's coming along. Three more months to be. We'll be over there. So, with that said, we're trying to coordinate with the county council on a ribbon cutting for sometimes in December. And so, I'll keep you posted once we've had that confirmed.
Is it going to be going to the county office?
It's tight. But
you guys will be out of their zone.
Well, we haven't got any earnest money yet, so within the Repsy is void. As you remember, Joel moved, so we have an open position. Corey has been actively recruiting. Now we have one known applicant. There's a potential. He's a hydrogeologist for a federal agency, but with everything with the federal agency, there's a question of whether he'll be able to stay in Park City or not. But then there was another gentleman that I spoke to that actually works for the city of Park City in the planning department who has GIS experience. So I think either of those would be helpful to the board. I'm kind of excited for that, the people that are willing to serve.
Because I think Corey has been a great addition to the board, and I would love to meet people that he's recommended.
Just keep in mind, I only hang out with other nerds. So if you want anybody reasonable on board, you have to do it yourself.
And in your packet, with everything going on in the federal government, funding being cut and added and subtracted, whatever, the Division of Drinking Water, through the legislation, Senate Bill 80, is going to, they're trying to enact a funding mechanism for the Division of Drinking Water. There's a public hearing that will be on September 11th. It would require us to pay 3 cents per 1,000 gallons for retail water. The implication to the district would be about $21,000. Based on our 2024 numbers, it doesn't include industrial water, it doesn't include wholesale water, so there's some caveat to that. And again, this would just fund the Division of Drinking Water. There are so many things that are up in the air right now because of everything that's going on in the current administration. You know, how often we're going to do a sanitary survey, what are drinking water standards, are they going to follow the Clean Water Act, things like that. So we...
Is that $21,000 monthly?
Annually.
Annually.
Yeah.
3 cents per thousand is only $20,000.
Yeah. So it's...
Yeah.
So the average implication to the end users are going to be about $3.50. We as a district are going to talk, and we're going to add it as a line item to people's bills. It would go into effect in 2026. The first payment would not be due until 2027. We don't think it's a big deal. Now, with that said, the state is also working on a way to try to fund capital programs. That is not in they haven't figured out how to make that work, so it's possible you could end up with two line items to fund the division and then capital, major capital water improvements in the state. So I just wanted to include that in the packet. Like I said, there's a public hearing on September 11th. You're free to tune in to that.
I had a couple of questions on that. So I assume we qualify for the 10% incentive by having water meters and tiered rates and a drinking water master plan and something nebulous called system-specific sizing standard.
Yes.
And then is Gulf water considered agricultural water?
So no. So that means they wouldn't pay.
Yeah.
Why not?
Secondary irrigation doesn't pay either. You put culinary on your landscape, then you pay. But if you're secondary, you don't.
Just treat it.
Just treat it.
Okay. Do we need to make questions?
No, I mean, this is top down.
Okay.
Real.
Actually, you know, it seems like a good idea knowing that we're making federal things, so.
One interesting thing about this one, and we talked about this because this was Senate Bill 80 and what got passed over this legislative session, is any excess that they determine I don't know, is not needed for the Division of Drinking Water Operations can be taken into the Utah Water Infrastructure Fund, the new UWIF, which is what they're using to fund these new infrastructure projects that they're starting the prioritization process for. So you can read that how you want. I don't know. There's been no discussion on how often this rate will be adjusted. If that gets adjusted so that there is excess that then gets put into this other infrastructure fund.
So when you say other infrastructure, so is that like funding that big project down in St. George, or is it funding the nuclear power site?
Yeah. So they're saying that any excess above what the division needs that year can be swept into this water infrastructure fund. That's come up as a discussion point. Which is interesting because they don't have that plan yet in place. So it's estimated that this 3 cents will generate about $6.7 million, which is roughly what they're going to be losing if they were to lose everything from the federal government. But they don't know that exactly what that number is yet. But so it'll just be interesting to see how that rate adjusts and how this water infrastructure plan ends up playing out.
All right. Any other questions on that? Then, does anyone have any questions on the department updates?
Sell it to legal figures.
Did you like that?
So the takeaway there is job growth is low, unemployment's not
much. Yeah.
Loss of jobs is higher rate, so...
Yeah, we're in a lower unemployment dynamic here in Utah, but it is cooling. You know, that big surge we saw during COVID is starting to cool. One of the other slides I had in there is you saw the labor force is declining, and they're saying that's attributable primarily to the boomers retiring and not as many entering or different kinds of jobs are happening. So that was kind of interesting. But yeah, there's definitely a little bit more cooling off period, and there seem to be more applicants for jobs than in the government.
I guess I was going to ask them that. Do you see that affecting us here shortly? Could you all like potentially?
I mean, we don't have any open positions. I haven't done anything, you know, as you've seen from my department updates. We hired Ryan Hereford and Anna's department. Quite a year ago, or oh, Chris, that's right. Chris came on, but he was a seasonal that he had been with the district. But yeah, we haven't done anything since last fall.
I think a big top portion is going to disappear next year.
I don't see that.
Right now, it's like only one.
Great.
We had them. Now we're more middle. We've got some years. Yeah. We've had some times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But opportunity.
I think there's, yes. And we've heard, you know, we do have one that's potentially retiring in the near term. We've already had inquiries about John.
Okay. Internally or
externally?
Oh, great.
So I think we'll be in business.
And Brian, I really appreciated your phone calling this. Yeah, I heard. Thanks. It was impressively called.
Yes, great opportunity.
Thank you.
A little kitty scoring grants on the side.
And then I'm assuming there's like some very high-end extraction system to pull them out. There's not another tiger we can spawn. You told us about it before, but I've never seen a photo of that. I haven't even
done it. Swing full back, you know, and he has been forward that he talks through. And...
Oh, wow. He's like live point.
Yeah.
Well, to get it much slowed down.
Expects a dang crazy bottom. 3 inch to 1/2 inch of stone on the bottom, so they just suck it out and double tape inspection the video.
They ever found something weird? Like an animal?
That's weird. That's interesting to see the cracks and rust and steel tanks and stuff like that.
So he's doing an audience with this. We need to have allergy.
Yep.
You guys got any questions over here? Mm-hmm. I had a couple. Steve, I wanted to know, what is the new impact fee report required by state extension?
So historically, as a water intermediate, we were able to kind of general, these are all the funds we've received. These are kind of all the projects we're doing. Now the report requires that you say these impact fees will be used on these projects. And so you kind of time it. And I think it's just, I talked to Keith Larson for the long columns, and he says it doesn't make as much sense in a water system. We can see like roads, like you put in a grocery store and they got to put a road in for you, so you can tie and tie it with one. But when you're developing source, you're putting in lines, you know, it goes all over.
So it's not just a water.
It's anybody who collects an impact fee has to say, these are the ones I collected in 2024 and I allocated. So I submitted it like I normally do, and then I got like back, do it this way. So I've been talking to both moms, got a couple of samples, and he says, yeah, it's kind of silly. Water districts have to do it that way, but I think it makes them work. So I'm resubmitting a new.
Great.
It's more work.
And Lisa, I wanted to know what the tabletop exercise is.
So we are going to, I spoke with Lyle McComb at a infrastructure meeting. It's with Park City and Park City's emergency preparedness. So it's just a tabletop. So he's going to help us lead it. So he'll be kind of giving the scenario of what happens. And then you go around the room and kind of role play how you do that emergency, depending on what it, you know, we end up choosing for it, how each person in the room that's part of that emergency situation is going to respond. And then you kind of role play through the whole drill. It takes, he said, about, you know, 1.5 to 2 hours. So as part of that emergency preparedness committee that we got together, he actually just did one. He ran through it with Park City Municipal. They used an earthquake scenario. And so I think that's probably our, you know, our, a big one for us because it affects so many of our operations, power, you know, whether our structure is stable or not. And so he is going to attempt to one that, you know, mimics what the exercise they went through. So he, but I'm going to give him our emergency preparedness plan that we already have. He'll get specifics related just to our system, and then he'll come up with the scenarios, and we'll have to react, you know, in a rural environment, not out in the field. We're going to meet together as a committee and some of the department heads at the beginning of September to get some more information and also talk about what things that they might like to see in that tabletop exercise again.
That'll be apocalypse.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then, Chris, I swept, like, I saw the numbers on how much we're saving in power. I mean, it looks like $28,501.45. That's amazing. And then we dropped down to 2.9% of our original electrical usage. That's great.
It's not so cheering as last month, but you know, the plant is running so hard. It's just, they're running around the clock. Generations in there compared to, but as we start to run on the plant a little less hard, some of the stuff will be making it back.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, anyway, that was great news.
Yeah.
All right. Well, does anyone have anything else? Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.